This episode of Stars and Characters is sponsored by Jets Toy Hut at toyhut.com. Jets Toy Hut is committed to being the place for all things Star Wars today and for years to come. Jets Toy Hut offers Star Wars collectibles for every collector, from the seasoned veteran collector to anyone just starting their collection today. And every purchase from Jets Toy Hut is backed by their no-questions-asked return policy. Shop with confidence and browse their huge selection of Star Wars collectibles today at toyhut.com. That's HUTT.com. And follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/JetsToyHut.
Does he have like the most beautiful blue eyes you've ever seen, Tim?
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories. Histories. And details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Crix Madine.
Okay, first question before we get into the names. Because I have to do the when I post this. Is it Madine or Nadine?
I thought it was Madine.
With an M? Yep.
With an M. It's okay. It's not a Chuck Berry song.
I don't know that song, so okay.
It sounds like every other Chuck Berry song.
This guy, Crix Madine, with his awesome beard.
The weirdo with the beardo.
That's another comment I have later. I'll get to that later.
He only appears in Return of the Jedi.
Unfortunately.
Now, here are the names. Listen for your name. This is a quote that Crix Madine says.
Ooh.
Oh.
We have stolen a small Imperial shuttle, disguised as a cargo ship, and using a secret Imperial code. A strike team will land on the mat and deactivate the shield generator.
That is going in the highlight reel.
Was that good?
Ooh. That's going to be on a best of.
That was very nice.
Wasn't that nice?
Especially the last episode.
That one sucked.
You rehearsed that one, didn't you?
I wrote it down. Look at that. They wrote it down. Everyone's name is boldface, just to help me out when I read it.
You said it with about as much gusto as he did.
I know. That's how it was. So, where you at? Dave Activate.
Yeah.
Can you give us some facts about Crix Madine and his beard?
I would love to. That's from another
side. Say, look out.
All right. Well, Crix Madine was, spoiler alert, a Carillion that got his start, like many of the other characters in the Rebellion, as an officer in the Imperial Army.
Mm.
So we've talked about this from time to time. These guys start, you know, with the Empire. And as time goes on, they become disenfranchised with what's going on and get out of there. But he made a name for himself as an astute tactician. And he was put in charge of an elite group of stormtroopers called Storm Commandos. These were stormtroopers that he selected, like hand selected and trained personally. Now, I don't want to go on a whole thing about Storm Commandos because this is all pre-movies and, you know, movies and books and video games and stuff like that. These things are badass. You got to like go on Google and do Storm Commandos because they're like black biker scouts.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. I'm looking at it right here and I'm like, these are cool.
They're very cool. And what these guys were was they were kind of like the Navy SEALs of the Empire. They would do like impossible missions and like the hardest missions.
So they're like the Charlie Sheen and Michael Biehn?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just find any way to bring it back to Michael Biehn.
Michael Biehn.
Sheen Biehn.
Michael Biehn's Ween.
Wow.
So, yeah, go look up Storm Commandos. We'll never do an episode on them, will we, Tim?
Probably not.
Oh,
but it's worth a look. I mean,
I was looking forward to the future.
The future is bleak, my friend.
Well, like I said, like most of these other officers who become rebels, he became disenfranchised with the Empire's way of doing things. And he actually tried to defect around the time of the Battle of Yavin, but he couldn't do it. But what he did all along to help out the rebellion is he leaked intelligence to the rebellion. Actually, some kind of intelligence that he leaked actually helped them to destroy a Star Destroyer.
Ooh.
So he was you know, destined for the rebellion from the beginning. But the straw that broke the camel's back was that he was ordered, along with these Storm Commandos, to release some kind of plague on a planet called Dentau.
That was going to be your name originally.
Dentau?
Dentau Dave.
That. See it? Dentau Dave. I'm like, nah, this is better.
Well, I'm glad you did a little work.
I did.
Okay. I don't know what this planet is. Tim, do you know this planet at all?
I'm looking to see if there's anything. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
This must be in books and stuff like that. But really what it was like some kind of biological weapon. And, it, you know, I don't give a shit about these planets and stuff like this. But it was cool because it's really the thing that forced him into the rebellion. It was really they released this plague, him and these Storm Commandos, and they killed the entire population of this planet. So
everybody?
Every single person.
Kids?
Everybody.
Babies? Kittens? Puppies?
Women?
Space
the girls?
Minox? So
at that point, he was done. And he even had a fiance. Her name was Carrario.
Ooh.
Dave?
Yeah.
Carrario Christ. I had that up there.
Oh, Lord. Well, she was like the daughter of some imperial leader or something like that. And she was his fiance. And he defected and left her without even telling her.
I read that.
He just ditched her.
Oh, man.
Not even a dear. Was it Carrario Leonard?
No.
What a stooge.
Easy for you to say.
He mainly did it, though, to protect her. Like, that they didn't want her to be harmed because he defected to the rebellion and that kind of stuff.
He loved her so much, he had to let her go.
That's right, Chris.
Come here.
I'll never let go. Cricks.
Cricks.
From the door, would you?
But yeah, he defects to the rebellion. And I was trying to think back, and I actually went and listened to part of our show on General Rykan, that him defecting to the rebellion was like a super big deal. Like it involved Han Solo and Luke and Chewbacca, like in this huge firefight to kind of like abduct him from the Empire and bring him to the rebellion. And he and Rykan were like really close. They were like, and we said on that show that they were friends from childhood. I couldn't find that in Maydeen's story. So there's some inconsistencies with this, but he did defect. Now, as a member of the rebellion, he instantly became important. He was a member of the High Command Advisory Council. He was the chief military advisor under Rykan's recommendation. And really, basically what he did was he was in charge of all the ground troops. So he was like the Eisenhower of the rebellion. And he was actually more than that, because when they would go on these ground missions, he would go along with them, and he was there fighting with the men side by side, and his men loved him. So this was like a big deal. And the first mission that really I cared about was that they stole this shuttle that Chris mentioned in the thing.
Ooh.
The shuttle Tiderium.
So he had a hand in that personally.
Shuttle. Disguised as a cargo ship and using a secret imperial code, a strike team will land on the moon and deactivate the shield generator.
No.
So when he says we, he's actually talking about himself. He's not taking someone else's credit.
No. Huh?
I instantly like this guy now.
Yeah.
Because it's the complete opposite of everyone I work with.
He was there, like on the front lines with the men, and his men like adored him. But that puts us right up to the movie and the Battle of Endor. And his job was, like I said, he was in charge of the ground forces. His job was to destroy the shield generator. So
now why was he not on the ground? Why was he stuck up on the ship?
I thought that too. And I don't have an answer for that. Like, you would think that because he had done this other times, he would be there for that one. Maybe he had enough confidence in Han Solo that he felt like he didn't need to be there. I don't know. That is a good question, though, because I
thought
the same thing.
Like, I would have thought that he would be in charge and Han Solo would be his, like, second in command.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Because that was his MO for most of it.
Well, all right, not to jump ahead, but there is he not on one of the Calamari cruisers, or is a deleted scene creating a false memory for me?
Really, the deleted scene, and we'll talk about the deleted scene. We can talk about it now since you brought it up. After he's in the movie for 30.2 seconds.
Not bad, not bad.
That's no Wilro Hood, but that's okay.
How long is his beard in the movie for?
The same amount of time.
Okay.
And that scene that, you know, Chris played, I mean, he comes off as a morose, creepy, monotone. I mean, he's almost like a Seidler from Seinfeld. You really need to give him some Tic Tacs, like, so you know where he is. But that's the only scene he's in the movie. But then, like Matt's saying, and we had a discussion before we started recording, I've always seen this picture, and it's always perked my curiosity of him, you know, in action. Like he's in a Mon Calamari cruiser, and he's like yelling, and he's like celebrating actually the destruction of some Imperial ship. That's what I saw. He's sitting at the bridge of this ship. It's almost like, damn the torpedoes, like Captain Nemo at the helm of the Nautilus. And it's such a contrast to his scene in Return of the Jedi. But Matt said it's on the Blu-ray, and none of us have seen it. So what happened?
I said, yeah, watch mine.
Well, the deleted scene, not the scene of him that you're talking about that I remember. I think the deleted scene I was talking about, if that's what you want me to talk about.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a word. You know how this, and well, we know for a fact Admiral Akbar's scenes are, you know, Admiral Akbar is like kind of like sliding from the back of the ship to the front of the towards the camera when he's shouting out some kind of commands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar, if not, it may be the same exact set, and it's those shots. It's like they just kept the reel going so that they could intersplice these shots of him for whatever reason, but it's like, it looks like the worst amusement ride on the face of the earth, because it just goes back and forth, left and right, and there's no rhyme or reason to what's going on, and he's sitting there just stone-faced, just while this chair is just circling around and going different directions. He looks like a very unhappy child on a shitty amusement park ride.
That sounds like me on the Scrambler at Hershey Park.
Kind of, that's the kind of pattern it takes. You mentioned
the Scrambler.
It turns as it's moving about. It's so freaking hilarious. it's like they just did this reel to throw in pickup scenes. Like if they needed an edit point, they're like, okay, we got a shot of Maydeen coming from the back of the ship towards the camera. We'll put this in, you know, while we jump from the Death Star to the Star Destroyer. But I guess they didn't need it in the end. But it's just, oh, it's awesome. I cannot believe it's not on YouTube. I've been looking for it ever since we talked about it before we started recording. It's not on YouTube. I mean, it probably was when it first came out, but Fox has since took it down.
Right.
Sons of bitches.
I have to watch. I got to go find that scene on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the answer probably to Tim's question of why isn't he on the ground is because this story was probably written, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
because it was intended, like I read an interview with an actor. We'll get more to the actor later, but he did like 2 days in the scene that's in Return of the Jedi with everybody in the briefing. And they asked him to come back and do some pickup shots, like Matt said, and they were going to include him, but then for whatever reason didn't. So they never intended him to be the Eisenhower of the rebellion. This was just somebody's concoction. So maybe that's why the there's this discrepancy of him being in this Mon Calamari cruiser.
Does that explain, like, when he came back to do those shots, maybe is that why his beard looks so fucking phony?
What, in the briefing?
Yeah.
You hate his beard.
It's taped on. You see fucking tape.
His beard looks like a tan version of the soft side of a Velcro strip.
That's funny.
And his hair looks like he took it off another person's scalp and set it on top of his and did a comb down instead of a comb over.
It's like one of those SNL like fake makeup things. It just gets it on and it's falling off there in the fucking, you know, tape.
I don't know how he does that with his hair. I don't know how they did that. It's amazing.
One of the two is fake. Either the beard or the hair. They can't both be real and they can't both be fake. One of the two is fake. I think it's the hair.
All right.
He's got Ted Koppel hair.
Leave the guy's
he
hair.
Does.
Tonight on Dateline.
The Star Wars Donald Trump.
You're fired.
You're fired. at that Super Star Destroyer.
That's good. That was good. Well, in that briefing, based on what I was saying before the briefing, even they, you know, that Mon Mothma makes a big deal out about how the Emperor is on the Death Star, but she didn't want to even kill the Emperor. So what they've done in his backstory is actually given him credit for this entire raid altogether, because she did not want to have the Emperor killed because she saw it as an assassination.
What a hippie.
And he's the one that convinced her, no, we gotta strike while the iron's hot. So really, without General Madine, there's no Star Wars.
He's Kennedy and she's Gandhi.
Yeah.
But a shitty Gandhi, not a good Gandhi.
Shitty Gandhi.
Shitty Gandhi. That is my new web series.
That is a good name for the band.
Shitty Gandhi.
Our next
always approach your enemies with peace, unless they're a douche, then grab their nuts and twist. Thank tweest, you, Shitty Gandhi.
Tweest.
And when you think about it, he actually,
make the third blue.
He comes off looking like a genius in this battle. But when you think about it, like, his plan actually failed. Without the Ewoks, like, he's defeated on Endor. So
maybe that's like Ewok fur stuck to his chin as a beard.
Oh.
You are now part of the tribe.
All of the male Ewoks pulled like one pube. And just like one big Ewok puby beard
a
for him.
A lot of pubes if it's all
that's a lot of Ewoks. You're now part of the tribe, boy.
The hell
I don't know why they
that?
Speak that way, but that's an Ewok.
Is that Southern Italian?
Southern Italian.
Here those are my two go-to accents, Italian or Southern. Sometimes Eastern European.
After the movies, he stayed active in missions, including the one that would end his life. So I know Matt knows something about this because he read the novel. Does Darksaber ring a bell?
I hate that fucking book. That is the worst of all the books released in the extended universe. That is the worst, I think.
Which one's that one? I know the
That's
cover.
That's the one where the fucking Hutts get the plans of the Death Star and just build the super weapon instead of the whole Death
Kevin
Star.
Kevin J. Anderson, say no more.
Yep. The man that took the helm for L. Ron Hubbard.
He did write a good Superman novel. I'll give him that. But other than that, no.
Oh, it's on the Last Days of Krypton?
Yeah.
I've avoided that because it has his name on it.
Well, Matt is right. And we talked about this a bit when we did our Death Star episode, that there were other things that were Death Star-like. And this Darksaber was the Hutt's attempt at building a super laser.
Alan Persons.
Yeah. So really what it was in the Hoth asteroid field, and they went to try and destroy it. Madine got captured, and he was killed by Durga Basadi.
Durga Basadi.
Oh, Durga.
And Durga Basadi Tai was a Hutt who shot
Hello there.
He was shot through the heart, and Durga Basadi.
And he was too late.
Was he in pain?
Durga's nickname was his great obesity.
Yeah, that narrows it down.
The artist representation on Wikipedia is actually pretty funny.
Of what, Durga the Hutt?
Durga, yeah. It's just like Durga lounging on his little hut hover thing with something coming out of his mouth. And Madine is just like falling backwards with this shocked look on his face.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I did no such thing.
Oh, I see it, yeah. And he's got like an eye tattoo, like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Well,
a smidgen of this and a pinch of that. Out.
Come on. That's I didn't say.
What about Dolorane?
I didn't say zero. I said Durga.
We miss zero, Dave. Come on. Embrace it.
No.
Hello there.
I will not.
Mama.
We're going to do an episode on zero just for the heck of it.
Okay.
And we're going to make you do the research.
No.
And we're all going to do it in Zero the Hutt voices.
Yep.
Zero the Hutt was a Hutt from the Ashanti.
Mother.
Gay Imperial Pursuit.
Is that Bill Cosby? Cosby the Hut here?
And he loved pudding pops and lines. Pudding pops with a gathering in the rainbow and the Rudy.
What about the soul ring?
We done, Dave? I forget where we're at now.
No, we're not done. I'm just waiting for you to be finished.
You really mean that?
Oh, God. Well, this was somewhat interesting. He is the first rebel character from the films to have an official death in the extended universe.
Ooh.
So that picture that Matt and Tim are seeing, we'll put it up on our Facebook pages. It looks like it's from a comic, but it's from that book, I guess. And he gets shot by Durga. And
ooh.
That's the first character, the first rebel character.
Bertaloo.
That gets killed in the extended universe. Do you guys know who the first character is in general?
To die in the expanded universe?
The first character from the films to have an official death in the expanded universe, yes. Now, since I've said rebel, that should give you a clue that it's a non-rebel.
Oh, that's a good one.
I would have to say, is it this?
Hello there! <No.
Come on. laughs>
That I don't know. I mean, it all depends on. Like, I'm assuming it probably happens in like the Marvel comics or the or one of those early books.
Well, I'll tell you, it's okay. Actually.
Well, thanks for taking up all the time, Tim. No one else gets a guess now.
Sorry,
Matt. Do you have a guess,
Marty? See, I'll see you do it, Tim. You say a name and you're done.
It's actually the winner of the obscure character face-off, General Maximilian Beers. He's the first character that's given an official death in extended universe, and then followed by Maydeen. He's the second one that's given a death. So I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting, yeah. Mainly because of the obscure character face-off tie-in. Otherwise, I don't care.
Okay. But you guys already started talking about this, and we can talk about it a little more. His look. He has a very distinctive look.
You've got the look.
And maybe we should start with, because nobody's mentioned this yet, that albino flute that he carried. I could not find what that is. My guess is that it's just some kind of symbol of power, almost like Patton carrying around like the whipping stick for a horse. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think that is?
I thought he just went into his chambers and played some Jethro Tull to relax during mission briefings.
Sitting on the park bench.
I imagine him leading all the mouse droids through the halls of the Death Star. But that beard.
Yes.
Now he's listed as having red hair. Is that red to you?
No.
What is it?
Really light dirty brown.
Yeah. It's like a dark, dirty blonde or a light brown.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking about the beard. He's only one of three characters that I can think of movies that have beards.
Ooh, another trivia. Let's go. Okay.
Chewbacca, Tarful, and
and I mean the original trilogy. I ain't talking about these other.
Okay, Chewbacca. Aunt Beru.
Does Owen count?
I think
he's got kind of a half beard.
He has a little beard going on.
Obi-Wan.
I was thinking Obi-Wan and Porkins.
Oh, yeah. But he's got a neck beard.
He has four beards.
And then him. I kind of forgot about Uncle Owen because to me, he's just lazy.
Unshaven.
Yeah.
This guy does have like the Burt Reynolds and a Tom Selleck. Like, it looks really trimmed and like perfect.
His stash or his beard?
No, his beard. Like, everything looks so trimmed and like spends hours in the mirror shaving this, trimming that.
Right.
This is the beard an outdoorsman has after he climbs a mountain and comes down. This is what he looks like. Although the hair is nicer, but this is the type of beard that an outdoorsman would have after climbing a mountain.
Tim, outdoorsman, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's this is a 12-day growth.
Well, there's
maybe 13.
12-day growth, huh?
There's lots of porn stashes and sideburns in Star Wars, but there's not many beards.
Nope.
So that's the first thing that Is that the first thing people talk about with this guy? Is his beard?
I think it was hair first. I didn't actually really notice his beard until trying to find a picture for the artwork.
He's I'm piercing like, sterile.
Is freaking also. That hair? That what is up with that hair? It's a comb down. It's not an over. It's a.
Yeah,
I like that.
Comb it right down.
Well, another.
It's protective. You can get hit with a baseball bat and nothing would happen.
Maybe
it's,
that's
it's protective.
It's helmet hair.
Maybe he's got metal plate in his head like Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation.
And then he got replaced by Imperial Plastic. If he gets hit on this side, nothing. This side, though, you know.
That's awesome. Well, the other thing that I always notice about him is that he's dubbed. And to me, it's pretty bad dubbing. Why do you think they dubbed him? Like, there's lots of European actors in Star Wars. Why dub this guy to be American? He's not an American actor.
Okay.
My guess is that's just how they shot those movies. I mean, a lot of those characters are dubbed because the sets are so loud. So rather than try to just get this guy to come in and do his lines, they just got some actor in Hollywood to come in and read a few lines.
Well, it seems to me that in the original, at least in the original trilogy, more in just the first Star Wars, it seems like the good guys are American and the bad guys have accents.
Ooh,
I never heard about that.
That's good.
That's interesting. So you think it was a cultural thing?
Yeah, and just to keep in line, except for Mon Mothma. She was kind of British, but it seems like all the good guys, like they even did Emperor's voice for really no reason and made her, you know, gave her the American accent. It seems like all the good guys are American. Now the bad guys are primarily British. There might be some other dialects thrown in there, or accents, I mean.
That's good. That's pretty ethnocentric, but it's a good point. I never really thought about that. And Tim's point's good, too, that maybe it's just because they weren't equipped to be recording dialogue, that all they wanted to do was get those in the can, and we'll go back later and get the voices, get that dude over here. You speak English? Record your read this shit. Huh. I like both those points. I don't know if they're right, but I like
them. I don't know either. It just seems to be that
Might be a little bit of both, but if you hear even in the original Star Wars, some of the Imperials don't even have the British accent. She'll die before she tells you anything. You know, they're just very just standard.
Do you think they did it because they knew that this was an American movie and that the majority of the audience was going to be Americans, so they wanted more American voices in it? I mean, could that have something to do with it too?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean,
could be.
I never really thought about it too much, but with this guy and then, like you said, Aunt Peru, it's like, why bother going to this trouble? So, well, if you're
I would think that it wouldn't have been a big issue by the time Jedi came out, because by this point it's a global phenomenon that to have and with him being a former Imperial officer. I mean, I know that was written long after the movie came out, but it would make sense to have this guy speak with a British or even just any European accent. It wouldn't come off as strange, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's the best point made in this whole conversation.
Who cares who dubbed, who spoke?
What do you think, Chris?
That fucking beard freaks me out.
That's why he didn't come back and do the voiceovers, because the static electricity from his beard kept shorting out all the mics.
Although I do envy him, because I mean it takes me like 6 years to grow something that looks something like hair.
You need to climb a mountain and come down.
Yeah,
Tim, that would be like man, Christ.
Tim's upset. Lumberjack.
Just wants to take you out in the woods for a week for some reason. I don't know why.
See my wood in the woods.
Ugh.
Ah.
Bah. The other thing that I think I noticed more this time than any others, and I don't know if it was because I was watching the Blu-rays or whatever, but are his blue eyes enhanced? Does he have like the most beautiful blue eyes you've ever seen, Tim?
Don't make your brown eyes blue. He does have a piercing stare. The picture that is on Wikipedia, he is undressing someone with his eyes. It might be me.
Well, you can only hope.
Are they enhanced though? Do you like? Is there some special effects going on the sides? Because it reminds me of Dune. Like he should be out hunting Harkonnens.
No, I don't. I don't think they're enhanced. I think he just has a lovely set of eyes. He's like
Tim. Christ.
Like that chick from House that's in all those movies. Like her, she has like the most amazing eyes. He's got eyes like her.
You need to beep when you back up like that, Tim. I don't think it's enhanced. That's a lot. For 1984, that's a lot of work for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, no.
Okay. I just saw those eyes and they were like all of a sudden like.
Makes me want to take my shirt off.
Yes.
The eyes looked at you and said, hello there.
Hello there.
That was fast. Tim's in love with Crix Maydeen.
Good.
I would climb a mountain with him.
Are you sure?
Yes, I would.
What did you say?
I would climb a mountain with him.
I want more.
I want more mountains.
I love you.
That's what I would say when we reach the summit. That's right. What he would say back, because he can do better than me.
I'm sorry.
Well, he was played by Irishman Dermot Crowley.
Oi.
Mr. Crowley.
And Dermot Crowley was in...
What's up with your head?
Was in Octopussy. Mm. And I was listening to this Rycan episode, and it turns out, like I mentioned, that he was also in that. So these guys were in Octopussy together. And Tim cares about this kind of stuff, so I wrote it down. He was also voiced by Tom Kane a couple of times in things. And,
really?
And things.
No, probably in video games, I would think.
Video games and stuff like that. Did you guys ever meet Dermot Crowley?
Oh, Christ, we did. Fucking Tim fucking raped him.
We did. We did meet him. I remember he... he did a bunch of conventions that were always just like a little bit too far for me and Chris to go to. So he was always sort of this white.
I don't think he was ever too far for you to track him down.
He would do, you know, we're in the Philadelphia area, and he would do conventions like up in Boston and those sort of things, which are always just a little bit too far. But then he did some of the celebrations. I remember one celebration, Chris got his autograph, but I was a little low on cash, so I didn't get it. And I got him either at the last celebration or this past one. I can't remember if it was which one it was, the last one or two celebrations ago. But yes, we have met him at two different events.
Did you get it on the floor, or did you get it in his hotel room?
Bathroom stall, man.
Tim put his foot under the one stall, yeah. and his autograph picture slid from the other side.
And a Sharpie.
For soup.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, the funniest thing I found about him, there's a website, and it was pretty good. It's called Star Wars Interviews. Well,
you can skip me when we get to my part, Chris.
Oh, okay. The funniest thing that I read in that interview, I won't spoil the whole interview if you're going to go there and check it out. And it's like a pretty standard interview. But the one thing that he said that was interesting is that during the scene, the Mon Mothma scene, where the one from Return of the Jedi that you see, Paul Simon was there because he was dating Carrie Fisher at the time. And he was doing the scene. He turned around and he looked and he saw Paul Simon. So I thought that was kind of cool.
How rude.
Why is it rude?
I thought that the Star Wars interview site was run by Mark Newbold, who was on our show.
Take a seat.
I don't know.
I may be wrong on that, but I thought Mark had something to do with that site.
I don't know.
It's a Blogspot site, so I don't know. He seems pretty adept at getting... No, it's Paul Markham. Oh, wait, no, that's who, okay. That's who he interviewed. No. Sorry, that's not who runs it. That's a dude he interviewed.
I don't know. But here's a little known fact that the original title of the famous Paul Simon song was once, You Can Call Me Crix.
No.
Was it?
I believe it.
But as far as what's left is the action figure. And the thing that's most interesting about the action figure is that he has gray hair. And he doesn't have gray hair in the movie.
No, he does not.
No.
But other than that, it's a pretty good representation.
Reddish blonde.
Is that what it says in the notes?
Yeah. Hair color, reddish blonde. Eye color, blue.
His hair on that action figure was like stone gray.
Yep.
Tim, yep, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, I had that figure. That was
you had that figure.
I did have that. Well, in the interview several that we did with Mike Doty, I talk about that figure. I used to chew on his hand.
Oh,
what, are you trying to suck his fingers? What the fuck? What are you doing?
Is that what you call it? His hand?
Jesus.
No, I just remember I would just chew on his hand. I there's no reason behind it. It was just one of those things.
Wanted to know how he tasted.
It just tastes like plastic.
Jeez. Well, even as a 10-year-old, I remember that's probably when I first started to realize that they're really just making every one of these people to cash in. Like, why did he have a figure at all?
Right. Yeah.
Like, what do you do with him? Like, I never played with him. Like, he was unused. He was one of the ones that had the tight arms and legs.
Tight. You know, might as well have been in a double pack with Mon Mothma, so you could easily not buy both of them.
But after doing this research and reading more about him, I wish I still had my General Madine figure, because I really like this guy.
You would know on his hand.
No, I would not. But I really like this character. I think they did a good job with his backstory. I appreciate him more than I did before. And I know Tim does.
Yeah, hell yeah. He's on his other hand.
Small Imperial shuttle. Disguised as a cargo ship.
Listen carefully.
Using a secret Imperial code.
Tim's unzipping.
The strike team will land on the moon and deactivate the shield generator.
Who's that? God.
That was you unzipping your pants.
Oh. My zipper's not that long.
Don't need to be.
But as far as General Crix Madine, that's all I got.
Oh.
Yay.
Matt, do you want to give your website that Dave already gave?
Yeah, just rewind about 7 minutes ago and listen to Dave mention StarWarsInterviews.blogspot.com, and there you go. There you have it.
Sorry.
Well,
no, that's fine.
Yes, Chris.
That goes to show how little there is about this dude online.
That's true.
This is it.
What is it?
It's getting close to the end of the trivia.
We still got, close what is it, 71? We got. End. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's getting tight.
Close to the end.
All right. Well, yes, it is getting close to the end of this round of Imperial Pursuit.
Pursuit.
And here are the scores. Chris and Tim.
Yes.
In third with 10 points.
10 place.
Matt's in second with 11.
Dance.
And second then place. I have 19.
First place.
Thank you. And Chris, are you ready for your question?
I'm ready.
Your question is coming from the category The Death Star.
Oh, shit. I could be about anything.
We were just talking about this.
Yes. Fuck, man. I'm going one. Wait, I'm going this many. Okay. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. In A New Hope, when Han asked, quote, could you give us a hand with this? End quote. How many stormtroopers entered the Millennium Falcon?
Two. Why do I bet fucking nothing when I know the answer?
Because you don't know that you're going to know the answer.
I know. That's what scares me.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
517, scanner control. 517.
Here we go.
Scanner control.
Tim.
Yes.
316, report to control.
I sit and I wait for these things to be done.
Now it's done.
Okay.
Okay.
Tim.
Yes.
Don't you? I see you reaching for your mouse.
What? I'm listening.
Tim, your question is coming from the category Jar Jar Binks.
Why of all four of us does he get that one? Because he's going to get this right.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to right, but I'm going to bet five because I think I'm going to bet five all the way to the end. Five.
Really?
Yes, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to five for every question all the way through 75.
So what you're saying, Tim, is you bet this many?
and one for good measure. There it is.
All right, Tim.
Yes.
This is a quote.
Oh, no.
So hopefully we don't have to go to the judges on this.
It's embarrassing.
But I think you'll know because you're a dork. Here's your question. In The Phantom Menace,
yes.
How does Jar Jar describe the Force?
Ah, Mori Mori.
And there is a quote. How does he describe the Force?
Whoops. He's embarrassing.
He's like, oh, Maxie Bink the Force. And then he says something.
Excuse me.
Jesus. The only thing I can think of is he says, well, that smells stinketh.
Ah, word.
I'm probably wrong. I think there's something in there other than that. But
all right, well, you said a lot of stuff. So, so I'm going to need an official answer.
The first thing he says when he hears the Force is he says, Maxie Bink the Force. I'm phonetically speaking because I have no idea what he just said there. But Maxie Bink the Force.
Is that your final answer?
That will be my final answer.
Okay. We may have to go to the judges on this.
Oh,
my answer is no. Whatever you ask.
So that was mine.
Because I don't know what he says. It says Maxie Bink the Force is what it sounds like he's saying.
Okay.
Mr. Bustin with happiness seeing you again.
Here's the answer. Maxie Big the Force.
Shit.
Is what he's really saying. He's saying Maxie Big the Force.
What did Tim say?
He said Maxie Bink the Force.
Tim had no idea what he was saying, so he doesn't even have the spirit of the quote correct. So no.
So Matt is voting no.
Matt says no.
Maxie Bink the Force, and the answer is Maxie Big the Force. What are you saying? Matt's voting no. What are you saying, Chris?
How many points?
I'll be the tiebreaker.
How many points does he have?
How many points does he have?
10.
Yeah, he has 10.
He'll be ahead of me if I say yes.
Yes?
No, not really no.
I'm saying no.
You're saying no?
Nope.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I mean, I know the quote. It's just...
Tim, I would have given it to you.
In my ear, it always rang as Maxie Bink the Force.
You would have said the right quote.
If you would have alluded to something size related, I would have given it to you. But you didn't know you were saying.
I have no idea what he was even saying. The way he says it, it makes it sound like he's not impressed.
Then let me say this is not me voting against you. This is the prequel is letting you down in a big, big way, and you should always remember that about the prequels.
No, it's the yeah. Who knows what he. To my ear, it always rang Maxie Bink the Force, and it always sounds like he's like,
really
like, fuck the
no,
Force.
Not really, no.
No, whatever.
No.
All
not
right.
Really, no.
Yes.
So that's two no's.
I'm no longer in fourth.
I don't have
place.
To vote. Tim goes down to 5.
Oh my god.
Monster's back! I'm alive! I'm alive! I'm alive!
The fuck was that?
What did you say there, Tim?
I have no idea. I wasn't even paying attention. I'm reading this other interview up here on the Star Wars interview site.
Matt's turn.
Wow. All right, Matt, your category is Who Said That?
Well, you know what? I'm going to take the Tim approach as well and go 5 from here on out.
You going with 5?
Yep.
I told you my theory might work. Betting ones, you all bet 5, you all lose. Guess who wins?
Who?
Me.
It could happen.
All right. I think you're going to like this question.
Don't do that.
Maxie Big the Force.
That's not.
I'll give it to him.
I feel bad for Tim.
I actually do know.
I do too a little bit, but it's the end. It's like no, it's the end.
Oh no, I do feel bad now. Damn it! Can I take my vote back?
I'm fine with that
because he was only off one letter.
So what are you saying?
You know what? You know what? I like, you know, I think I might be letting outside influences or outside forces influence me in that decision. I jumped too soon. You know, we were pretty fair the last time we went through this. He did only get it wrong by one letter. I want to rescind my vote and say that Tim was close enough.
Wow.
Okay.
This is stunning.
Stunning.
This is Gore Bush recount time.
I just heard the word Bush. That's all I heard.
All right. Matt is rescinding his vote. Chris.
All right.
I mean, I haven't alluded to which way I would go, sort of. But what are you voting? Are you sticking with your no?
I am a little bit with Matt. I mean, you guys really gave me a little nice little curve. And Tim, I'm going to say this one time to you, okay?
You be more careful.
I will go with Matt, and I will give it to Tim because it's damn more than I fucking knew.
Wow. Wow.
Well, thank you.
I am shocked for so many reasons because, first of all, I thought you guys were heartless.
Hang on.
Can I take it back now?
I'm surprised that you would do that. Well, that was mighty nice of you. It's a holiday special miracle.
Yep.
All right. Well, Tim, congratulations. Yes. You're up to 15.
15.
All right.
Wait. He's beating me now.
I was going to take it personally for the remainder of the round.
he's beating me now, right?
Just isn't fair.
Yeah. He's
beating me. I want to rescind my rescission. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, because I did feel a little miffed, but I feel better now.
All right.
Yeah, like I said, I think I let some outside influences affect my decision.
You would have
not
cried
anymore.
Cried yourself to sleep tonight on your Crick's Maidine pillow.
Cry me your river.
And he was looking forward to that
pillow.
Part of
it's a full size body pillow.
Yeah, with stains all over it.
Only in the mouth and the waist.
Wait. Lips and hips.
In fact, when he tries to fold it, it actually makes a sound, cricks.
Lips. Tim, you said lips and hips. That's cracking me up, man. Lips and hips.
What's that from?
I don't know, but it's the same thing as mouth and waist.
This has been Anatomy with Chris.
But it rhymes. I like that.
All right, Matt.
Yes.
Did you even say what you're betting? You bet five, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Who's the category?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Don't do that.
All right. Of the six films in the Star Wars saga, which film has the most swearing?
That's a good question.
Ooh.
Wow. This is Matt's kind of question.
Can we twist it and say which episode of Star Wars and Character has the most cursing, and I'll take the next 5 minutes and just say fuck over and over again?
No.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
I thought you were say which film made you curse the most.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
I know.
It depends on what the definition of swearing is. Like, are we swearing in Star Wars universe, or are we swearing Earth swears?
That's a good question, and I will clarify that it is Earth swears, not poodle.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think that, but that's out of all six?
Out of the six films, which features the most swearing? And this came up once before, I think, when our buddy Dave, the other Neo-Zaz headmaster,
Smitty,
was on with us, and he pointed this out, and I've thought of this several times. The R2-D2's cursing the whole time. And he pointed that out to me, and I was like, that's pretty funny. And then I was watching it the other day, and he's cursing a blue streak every time he talks to 3PO. You know he is.
I don't know if someone suggested this needs to be done or if this actually exists, but I think there's a YouTube video where someone puts subtitles for R2, and they're all like these terrible, nasty things that he says.
I would love to see that. It was probably Dave.
Well, see, I was thinking, you say all six, that's what throws me. I'm thinking, is it Revenge of the Sith? But I think that was PG-13 because of the violence, you know, mainly because a freaking dude was on fire.
Well, what do you think, like, what kind of curse words are in
the hell? Hell, damn. I think that's what they consider.
Yeah.
I think it might be Empire Strikes Back. I can't give you enough quotes other than I'll see you in hell, but I'm going to go with Empire Strikes Back.
That's your final answer.
That's my final answer.
Okay. Well, with two hells and two dams, A New Hope has
No kidding, really.
In the five other films total, there is just one more of each.
Oh, okay. Well,
so the answer is A New Hope.
Let me add one to this episode and say shit.
Shit, goddamn hill, oh fuck.
I'm kind of curious to see, like, what the hell was, like, what scenes they were from.
I can't remember, damn. But it makes, I mean, I could see Han Solo saying it.
Obi-Wan's like, damn.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And Han curses a couple times, too. Yeah, it is. That's a good question.
Dave, I'm looking for the answers first real fast, all right?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to find the character.
I think the person I need to worry about now is Tim.
Yeah, thanks to me. Fuck.
Matt dug his own grave. That was like a 10-point swing.
Yeah, it was. Shit.
All right. Tim is hotter on my heels than he is on Crick's May Dean's.
You're
on a mountain.
I wanna bang with you on a mountain.
Your category is
Han Solo.
Oh,
I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon.
All right,
damn hell.
What is he captain of?
Can you
the quit, damn hell Millennium Falcon?
Tim is 15, and I think I have 19. I gotta play this right. If he's and he says he's betting five, he's not gonna bet five.
He will.
I'm getting Tim's head.
I'm playing a new game. I'm gonna see if I can get as high a negative number as the winning number is on the positive side.
Tim is gonna change. I'm getting into his head right now.
That sounds kind of
mental game.
He's got no game.
You're getting into Tim's head the way Tim gets into general meeting. Wait, what?
On a mountain.
His head.
And he will abandon his betting five thing now that he's 4 points behind me, especially if I get this wrong.
What?
So.
Maybe.
Not maybe. I know.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
All right. But just in case he doesn't and he keeps the
is
five.
Is that Crick's Nadine talking to Tim?
Don't get penis-y.
I'm going to bet two.
You're betting two.
So if he does bet five next week and gets it right, I'm still ahead of him.
This is too much math. Let's just get going here.
Okay, I'm betting two.
It's like we're talking politics in numbers.
Here we go.
What insult did Han aim at Jabba just before Han was to be thrown into the pit?
Okay, is this like a whole long quote I got to say?
It's in quotes, yes.
I like the sound of that.
Okay. He says, 3PO, you tell that piece of... I know it ends in worm-ridden filth.
Hell damn.
Poo-doo. Poo-doo.
Piece of
worm-ridden poo-doo. Filth. Poo-doo-doo-poo-doo. Poo-doo.
That's what I was thinking.
I thought you were going.
I dream of poo-doo. In a bottle.
I like the sound of that.
Piece of worm-ridden filth. Final answer.
Final answer.
Yes.
You're missing a word before the words piece of worm-ridden filth. Judges?
Oh, I know what it is now.
Go ahead.
It's slimy.
I will take it.
Yeah, what the fuck? I can't win this round. Hell damn round.
Yeah, that's what you get.
So I got it?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I mean, we fucking gave Tim his, you know. His was worse than yours, so.
Is that the benchmark now? Tim's was worse than yours.
Yeah, pretty much you have to say every word wrong in a quote now for not to get the point.
All right, we had quite a swing there as far as place, and Matt is in last with 6, then Chris with 11, then Tim with 15, and I have 21.
You're hard to catch there, Dave.
Well,
difficult to catch.
It's going to be for an interesting last couple before the break, before the stop of this trivia. What are you doing?
Nothing.
You're doing something.
I'm looking for something here. Go ahead, talk about yourselves.
Yeah, that's what we just did for an hour.
Here we go. True. All right. Well, thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about the bearded man and Crick's May Dean.
That gives Tim stubble burn.
On a mountain.
Join us next time when we discuss...
Fit him with a restraining bolt.
EV-99!
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.